Thank you for joining us for the Fats, Fuels, and Oils webinar. Today we have Ryan Stannard with us. He's going to go over the low CI portion of the forecast, specifically bleachable fancy tallow. If you have questions, go ahead and submit them in the Q&A in the bottom of Zoom, and we'll get to them at the end. With that, Ryan, take it from here.
Thanks, George. So this week, coming off the long Thanksgiving holiday, we focused on bleachable fancy tallow prices here in the near term and a little bit of commentary on the long-term forecast. Near term, I think up and down the board, it's going to be managing supply, maybe building in a little bit of a pipeline ahead of the holiday. And I think we expect that to keep prices steady to potentially move them higher here in the near term. We're expecting cattle slaughter to pop a little bit this week, which will put a little bit of extra supply into the market, but we're seeing some bigger drops, or we expect to see obviously bigger drops towards the holiday break. So there, the week of Christmas, same thing with the week of the New Year holiday. You have longer weekends and limitations on production. Logistics also figures heavily into this. I think buyers are looking to pad their inventories a little bit ahead of the holiday break. That's tied to trucking and train issues. You want to get your material in and offset any potential disruptions. And I think disruptions is a key word as well, because there's a lot of COVID news out there, big growth in cases here in Chicagoland. We've seen some rapid expansion over the last month. I think that's a story across the country. And people are concerned about workforce, labor force from week to week. You know, how many people are going to be there? And when you look at a packing plant, again, we hit this point over the head week after week after week. But the main business of a meat packer is to sell meat, to raise livestock for meat, cut that meat, put it into boxes, ship it out, and sell that. So that's their main focus is fabrication. And you may not see as much focus on other things. So that could increase yields a little bit. If cuts aren't as tight as they typically could be, there could be more stuff going into the rendering stream. And it could have the opposite effect as well, where you don't see as much material going into the rendering stream. That's particularly true on the premium products, where you see there could be more fat going into boxes or less focus on the part of the production process that would ship the raw material into lard or edible tallow production. Same thing with the poultry fat. You have mechanically separated chicken, and so you may not see that run as hard, and there may not be as much as the premium products out there. So again, that's supportive of prices. Something else to focus on in the BFT market is the palm market. That's been very strong, just like the soybean oil market over the last month. And so the optionality for the oleochemical industry has been drastically reduced. Higher prices for palm, there's not a whole lot of soybean oil usage there, not a lot of places to go for cheaper product, in fact, none. So they're having to pay the higher prices. That's not typical for this time of year, hasn't been, at least in November. So that also is supportive of higher prices heading into the new year. With that, that really wraps up the comments on BFT. I know I had a comment in there about corn as well. Current corn prices are supportive of the market. In fact, maybe another penny on the FOB Missouri River side for BFT. So feed demand is consistent as well. And again, with that kind of wraps up my thoughts this week on the BFT market. And I'm happy to take any questions anybody has on tallow or any of the other feedstocks that we cover.
All right, Ryan. So the first question I have for you is, do you think we'll see UCO start to come into the U.S. out of Asia soon?
There's a potential for that to start to happen. I think that there's some hurdles that are some, for LCFS purposes, I think pathways have to be established and approved by the California Air Resources Board to get that to work into that program. That's where we're seeing high prices is California at the moment, as well as into the US Gulf. But given the price spread, it's starting to look a lot more attractive for UCO to come in from Asia into the US West Coast or potentially into the Gulf. There's some down pressure in the European market. And so those values are starting to get close. What the Europeans are paying are starting to get close to what the US market is supportive of. So prices go a little bit higher, we could start to see material flow into the the US. Again, there's that LCFS hurdle, but if it's purely for RFS purposes, certainly. But I'm not sure those buyers are willing to pay these, you know, 33, 34, as much as 38 cents delivered yet, which is where it would be competitive with the Asian UCO market.
Okay. Why are soybean oil prices going up so much?
That's more of a question for Tori. I can just say quickly, it's tied to Chinese demand and I think tightness or weather concerns in the South American market. That's kind of goes into the BFT market a bit. There's been demand for feedstocks out of the Brazilian market. So Brazilian buyers have uncharacteristically come into the US market looking for tallow, and that's helped support that BFT market through the fourth quarter.
And we can go into that question a little bit more in depth next week when Tori joins us for the webinar. Where do you see yellow grease prices going in 2021, average for the year? Any ideas?
You could bring up our forecast. I think that we're going to see stronger prices here in the short term, maybe a little bit of seasonal dip, but as you see here, increase steadily through the last three quarters of the year. And that's all driven by renewable fuel demand. Again, I say this all the time, but a rising tide lifts all boats. You have a strong soybean oil market that helps to pull the animal fat market higher. You know, tallow pulls up on choice white grease pulls up on yellow grease. And that's just because of the limited optionality. So I think we'll see higher yellow grease into biodiesel, but we see a lot of that go into, it's more the used cooking oil specific product heads into the biodiesel market. And we see yellow grease head into bio and a lot into feed. So I think those feeders are going to have to pay up to secure that material next year.
Okay. Along those lines, there's some unexpected demand interruption on the renewable diesel side. Do you expect this to impact feedstock prices in the near term?
Yeah, I think if it's the same plant I'm thinking about, we've heard about some delays in a renewable diesel plant that's starting up. That could have an impact on distillers' corn oil pricing here in the near term. We've seen that market be red hot over the last 2 or 3 months. It's really tracked soybean oil prices higher, and we could see that start to erode at prices, and kind of work that into our forecast a little bit. Additionally, there's an expectation for increased DCO production, at least after the holiday, as ethanol plants maybe get back a little bit more in line with 2019 production numbers versus the COVID interruption that we've seen through a lot of this year. So that's adding some risk for lower prices in the, you know, near term, the longer range. But I think until we get past this holiday break, prices are more likely to stall than they are to move lower. But I do anticipate prices to trend lower a little bit in the distant future.
And if anyone has more questions, send them over. But the last question I have here so far is, why have poultry fat prices increased so much over the last month?
They've tracked that soybean oil market higher. So that's, soybean oil really has been a big catalyst in the higher prices that we've seen in some of the feed fat markets, as well as, you know, strong corn market. And I think just limited production, limited supply. So like I referred to earlier, there's been some production disruptions. You know, I don't know if it's COVID related. Producers aren't necessarily blaming it on that, but I've heard that there are some work or labor force limitations, and there just hasn't been as much focus on shifting things into the rendering side. That's tightened some material up in that poultry fat market. Additionally, I think that there's been some strong demand for some fat exports off of the East Coast. Porcine fat, choice white grease particularly. And so poultry fat has kind of gone in to fill that void, and that's really tightened things up. And seasonally, it's tight as well. So,
okay. Well, Ryan, that's all the questions we have for you today. Thanks for taking the time to answer those. Attendees, thank you for jumping on. Next week, we'll have Tori on this. And also for those that are subscribed to our Outlook, our 2020 Outlook, we'll have a revision to that coming next week. So look for a webinar coming out about those updates to the Outlook. Ryan, thank you. Attendees, thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.